Save me the trouble. Was gonna chill the double stoop of McScotty today anyway. Come on out. Let's haul ass.
Ryan was agonizingly conscious that Court Strasser could be waiting for them behind any of the thick robe of trees. There were clear tracks leafing off up the path from the river, one that was definitely Mildred's. Over the past few weeks, Ryan had familiarized himself with her trail. He also spotted Strasser's footmarks, which meant that the third was the lieutenant, the man with the polished nunchaku sticks, Rafe. Even with the former sect boss of Moxon holding Mildred, unless she'd managed to break free after strangling the woman, the odds still favored Ryan and his friends. Whatever the cost in blood, the end of the trail was coming closer. After the fatigue of the river passage, Strasser drove Rafe and Mildred along at a fearful pace. There was a track from the river that wound up steeply for 200 feet. There, the trees began to thin out, and open spaces appeared. Twice, Strasser called a halt, pausing and listening. But the noise of the river still filtered through, drowning out the noise of any pursuit. Mildred had succeeded in covering the butt of her revolver with her torn blouse. Knowing that she might only get one chance against Strasser and Rafe, she was content to wait for the right moment. As things went, it didn't seem like she was in any immediate danger, until her feet slipped and she slid backward, crashing into the skull-faced man.
Ah! You whore!
Strasser struck out at Mildred as she collided with him, but he was taken by surprise, having to grab at her to save himself. His hands went around her waist, and she felt the sudden tension as his fingers touched the concealed weapon in the small of her back. He snatched the blaster, pushing her away from him.
What is... Oh. Clever, lady, clever. Drowned the slot and got your pretty pistol back all at the same time. Ooh, no wonder Connor has you along.
I hope you develop penile cancer and die slowly, and in the worst pain a man could imagine.
Oh, if I do, bitch, you surely won't be around to do any gloating. You'll be dead. If not today, then very likely tomorrow. And if I have the time to enjoy your chilling...
With a jerk of her blaster, the skull-faced man motioned her to start moving again, up toward the crest of the ridge. They moved fast in a strung-out patrol line, Jack at point, with JB bringing up the rear. Blasters were drawn and ready, but from the teenager's reading of the trail, it looked as if Strasser was setting a very fast pace. They passed a point where there seemed to have been some sort of a scuffle, marks of skidding feet in the damp earth. Ryan stared around, somehow expecting to find the corpse of Mildred spread out for them by the maniacal hatred of Strasser. But the spoor of the three pairs of feet still continued toward the top of the hill, where Jack had paused, waiting for them.
Look!
During his life in Deathlands, Ryan had seen plenty of evidence of what the megacool of the mass nuking had done to the Earth. But he'd never seen a small area so devastated by quakes. It looked like the land had been trampled, then eaten up and spat out. You could clearly see where the waves of seismic force had turned solid rock into flowing jelly. From where they stood, it was possible to make out the distant curve of the Grandee, bending around the tumbled remnants of a group of high peaks. Christy brushed her crimson hair back off her forehead.
There's some buildings there. Look to be ruins.
Could be the redoubt in the Freezy Center. Or some kind of tourist motel or visitor center. Looks to be around 6 miles across the valley there.
Doesn't look like any kind of a trail between hither and thither. Just an awful lot of trees.
Below them, there was a solid mass of pine trees, seemingly impenetrable. Though Ryan looked carefully, he couldn't see any sign of Strasser. The afternoon was already wearing on, though the sun was still above the range of low hills that stood shrouded in haze some 40 miles to the east.
What at? Dogs?
Not dogs. Wolves.
Rafe was leading, pushing between the close-packed trees, holding a small wrist compass in his hand. They'd taken a bearing on the group of buildings across the valley and were now making their best speed toward them. But the wood was so dense that Strasser had called a pause, binding Mildred's ankles together with a hobble so that she could only take short steps.
That'll stop you running, bitch.
Strasser grinned, easing his hand up the inside of her thigh as he stooped to tie her.
I'm not running any place. I want to be there when you go down. I want to spit in your eyeballs.
Strasser slowly lifted a brutal, careful fist.
Oh, merde.
Ryan and the others also heard that dreadful baying sound. They just entered the fringes of the forest, heading on a compass bearing toward the distant mesa of tumbled rocks.
Fire blast. That doesn't sound like any wolf I ever heard. Too deep. More like some sort of a cougar.
Could be the trees muffling the noise.
Christy shuddered and hugged herself.
Feels bad, lover. We have to go on?
There's no way we could get back up that gorge. And a strikeout cross-country.
Ryan allowed the sentence to fade away into the deep, pine-scented gloom around them. Several times Mildred stumbled and nearly fell, but the skull-faced man was always at her elbow, seeming to sense her uncertainty, gripping her by the wrist to keep her going. Rafe was in the lead, moving in an easy hunter's lope. They reached a clearing in the forest, where lightning had felled a large tree, sending it crashing in flames. The fire had been localized, but it had opened an area some 50 feet across. The scorched and blackened wood had been covered by tender ferns and the ubiquitous lichen. Rafe had paused at its center, looking around him, allowing his boss and Mildred to move past him toward the far side. The wolf appeared out of the silent trees, a little behind them.
Oh, shit.
Strasser didn't say anything. The muty animal was huge. Its eyes glittered like fire, and stinking froth hung in clusters from its steaming muzzle. Its lips were peeled back off ferocious teeth. Mildred guessed that it stood at least 4 feet high at the shoulder, and that it must weigh close to 500 pounds. Rafe spun to face it.
Hold it, Rafe. Cover us.
Strasser started to tug Mildred toward the far side of the clearing.
Sure, boss.
Coward. It'll kill him. Why not shoot it?
Strasser grinned at her.
Bring Ryan straight to me. Rafe could take his chances with the big muty bastard.
He paused just beneath the first of the massive pines, looking back to watch his lieutenant. Mildred couldn't believe Strasser's cold-hearted betrayal of his number one man. Rafe was in a knife fighter's crouch, using the sticks to hold off the puzzled animal. Once it stepped in close, the creature backed off and crouched a moment, its eyes fixed on the man who faced it. For a moment, Mildred actually started to believe that Rafe's skill and undeniable bravery would be enough to win the day. Then two more of the gigantic animals came loping into the clearing.
Boss!
Bye, Rafe!
Strasser started dragging Mildred with him into the trees.
You can't leave!
Oh, I can, and I have.
For several seconds, she heard nothing, conscious only of the cold iron grip of Strasser's fingers biting into her arm just above the elbow. Strasser ran on, pulling Mildred with him. The noise had warned Ryan and the others of the threat from the wolves. They moved on more cautiously, eyes raking the late afternoon darkness around them for any sign of the animals. Jack spotted the muty creatures in the clearing and waved to Ryan to cut around to the left. The wolves were too busy at their meal to notice the five shadows that flitted past them among the pine trees. Ryan glimpsed the ragged remnants of the corpse, with enough remaining of the clothing for him to see, with relief, that the body could only be Strasser's lieutenant. Mildred and the skull-faced man must have gotten away and gone on ahead toward the remains of the distant building.
You don't stand a chance, you murdering bastard! You against Ryan and the others? No fucking chance at all! You get your rocks off!
It was a quarter of a mile from the edge of the forest to the main entrance to the old redoubt, up a steep, zigzagging pathway, its edges crumbled by the earthquakes of a century ago. At some point during the past 100 years, the whole region had been submerged underwater. It could have been the Grandee, blocked off somewhere south of the old Mexican border, or one of the other rivers, rerouted after the nuking. It had left great areas of soft sand, treacherous to walk on, piled in the low places all around. Mildred now walked ahead of Strasser. He'd freed her from the hobbles once they were away from the trees, making her keep 10 paces in front of him. Her revolver was in his belt, the Stetschkin machine pistol in his right hand. Once she stumbled into a patch of the yellow sand, finding it suddenly sucking at her feet, drawing her into its cool embrace. Luckily, it was only a small area of quicksand, and Mildred was able to throw herself quickly forward, breaking the suction by pulling herself